Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. To remain profitable in the 21st century will require companies to make a lot of changes. Changes demanded by their customer base. Now think for a minute. If change is dependent on information from your customers, how are you going to get that information? Right. Some kind of customer response card is going to be required as a vehicle for your customers to communicate with you. Customer response cards are no longer an option. They are a necessity. This month's tape is presented by Mike Hyduke. Mike has worked within the service and trades industry his entire life. His first exposure was with the family business, then working for a large commercial contractor after graduating from New York State University. Mike later joined Lennox Industries, working in a variety of positions, eventually becoming head of the dealer services group. Mike eventually started his own business and has extensive experience working with contractors in the area of customer service. Today, Mike is going to give you the outline of how to design a customer response card, after which you can fill in your own blanks. At the end of this tape, we have a special bonus for you. I'm going to share several practical tips, plus some ideas from contractors in the field, in terms of how they use customer response cards as an incentive program for their technicians. I think you'll find them helpful. Now, let's listen to Mike.
Can you imagine going to a restaurant, placing your order, then immediately leaving the building? Or how about buying an airline ticket and never bother to show up at flight time? How about buying a brand new truck, then parking it in the back lot and never use it? Do you do that? These examples of purchases could potentially cost you a lot of money. But what we're about to discuss can even cost you more per year than a fleet of trucks or a year's worth of meals in a restaurant. So why do so many companies provide survey cards in convenient little plastic stands, collect all the customer response surveys, and never really change their business when one of their customers does respond? Sounds as crazy to me as not showing up for a flight you bought a ticket for. What I would like to discuss with you today is the whole notion of asking customers what their impressions of your business are and then what to do with the results. In a previous tape, I discussed and hopefully convinced you that it is smart to ask your customers for feedback. If you haven't listened to that tape or were not convinced, let me take a moment to revisit the benefits to ask your customers about your services and your company's performance. What to sell, how to sell it, where to advertise and promote your service or products to make money. Perhaps each and every one of you have made these types of decisions as they pertain to your company. He could sell ice cream to Eskimos is a common phrase you may have heard, which signifies a deft salesperson's ability to just about sell anything to anyone, regardless of whether they need it or not. Would you sell bathing suits in the Yukon? Snowmobiles in Hawaii? These are obvious, but your products or services may not be so. Does your painting company include wallpapering? Can your drain cleaning company replace water heaters? Or how about an issue like staying open later one day per week? Maybe you do, or maybe not. But who should decide? If you want customers, they should. You should ask them. And once you do begin to provide the products and services that the buying public wants, you must continually find out if your delivery system meets their expectations, and whether your service and products need to be revised and refined to meet their ever-changing tastes. There is a fine restaurant chain based in Dallas, Texas, Chili's, who began serving an appetizer which is a whole onion cut and battered, then deep fried to form what they call an awesome blossom. They were the first restaurant to serve the tasty food and were the talk of the town, if not the restaurant business, with this winter, as evidenced by the waiting line to get into their eateries. A few years later now, it's difficult to find a casual dining restaurant that does not serve a similar appetizer. Chili's customers voted with their wallets and their loyalty to the restaurant chain. Do you wait until your customers will find a better company with which to do business, or do you want to stay ahead of the curve by being the leader and provide what your customers really want? Do you want to put yourself in the position of having to staff your organization with salespeople who can sell ice cream to Eskimos, or do you want to have a staff of sales consultants who offer your repeating clientele products that they really want and are sold before they even see your sales rep? Okay, you're convinced that asking customers about your company's performance is a smart thing to do. And it seems to be the politically correct thing to do today. In the last 2 years, I have personally collected over 500 surveys of all types from all industries which ask the questions. They all imply, we care and would like to hear from you, our customer. Your company may already print postcards with various survey questions. Many times there is a place on the card for a name and phone number. And some cards are encoded so that the location of the service can be determined. The number of questions ranges from 4 to 40, and most times the originator of the card is not evident. The card is from the company and is to be returned to the company. Just what does become of the responses made by the customer? Let's review what we're really in business for, and I'll let you decide what you want to do with the responses. First of all, your customer has placed the trust in you and your company to provide a service, a product, or a service agreement. Your livelihood and the livelihood of your staff is dependent upon this customer. They do not have to do business with you. So the first thing you need to do is say a simple but profound thank you. You can't say this phrase too many times to your customer. You might think the more you say thank you, the more trite it becomes. But actually the reverse happens. You and your staff will become more sincere in what it means because you will come to the realization that you cannot do without the customer. So, rule number one, every inquiry about your service should have a thank you element to it. Next, you want to convey to your customer that everyone in the organization, right up to the top person, is involved in satisfying the customer's needs. Do I care if Bill Gates has $40 billion if the $279 piece of software I purchase cannot be returned if I'm not happy? No, you see, I, along with millions of other consumers, are Bill Gates' boss. Without us, he doesn't exist. I want Bill Gates and the other CEOs of the world to know that I'm important, so the message should come down from the top that there is a concern throughout the entire organization. So rule number two is, the request for an inquiry of a customer satisfaction should come from the most senior person in the company. Lee Iacocca of Chrysler taught us this years ago. Thirdly, you need a mechanism which will allow the vocal customer to respond beyond the card. A phone number is preferred. Most survey card responses are to be tabulated and grouped with others to present trends across all of your customers. But if that one disgruntled customer wants to vent, you must give him the opportunity. This works both ways. Should there be a happy customer who wants to vocalize their satisfaction, he needs to know where to call. Since there are times which I personally admonish the manager or supervisor of a company I do business with if I'm not pleased with the service I received, I also take the time to compliment when I receive outstanding service. I'm certain that the compliments hardly ever get delivered to the right person for due recognition, while the negative comments serve to discipline. So rule number three is that you must provide a phone number to allow the customer to express their opinion or obtain information beyond the scope of the survey card itself. The next component of a survey card is that the responses have to be simple and quick. The more unclear of your request, the more apt the customer is to not respond or respond in error. The response card must also not take too much of the consumer's time. 30 seconds is about right, 1 minute is maximum. Beyond that, it becomes a chore. There are customer surveys which are used effectively as sales tools, which take 10 minutes or more to complete. But these are for big-ticket items and are not customer satisfaction-oriented. An optimal length of a customer satisfaction survey should be limited to 7 to 10 questions, which can be answered quickly. Rule number 4 is that the survey must be quick and easy. All survey questions must have only one possible response. While this seems self-evident, questions like, "Was our technician courteous and on time?" are always asked on surveys. One customer may answer part of the question about the courtesy, and another will answer regarding the timeliness. You, of course, cannot know what the respondent was answering. Rule number 5 is that the question must have only one issue. Another area is response. How do you get your customer to respond? In many restaurants, there are the little plastic stands which hold the blank surveys and are usually readily available to the customer. The problem with these is that a happy diner will simply bypass the cards, while the disgruntled will be the most likely to complete them. Our goal is to get a good sample of all customers. See, the purpose is not to police the service offenders, but rather to gain information about what is important to the customer and improve the products and services of the company. The little plastic stand response is less than 1% of the customers. Not very representative. I recommend a reward or a nominal gift be given to the customer for taking the time to respond. Callahan Roach has a program whereby a 40% response is realized for a $1 reward and a whopping 60% for a $2 gift. Our clients can really change their businesses and give the customers what they really want with this magnitude of response. The gift does not have to be monetary. It can be a donation to a charity, such as the SPCA or Save the Children. You may even change the gift to obtain the best response. The sixth rule is that there must be something in it for the customer to respond. The final area is that the question responses must be in a readable and usable format. This area is one which is most often overlooked and hardly ever achieved. The surveys are printed, distributed. Some customers take the time to complete them, and then nothing. Oh, once in a while, when a really good response is received, the card may go onto a bulletin board in the lunchroom, but no discernible difference was made in the company because of this activity. What a waste. If your business was a restaurant and the survey showed that 60% of your customers thought that your French fries were too greasy, or you are a plumber and that Fred the plumber was rude to over 20% of those that responded, would you overlook these obvious service problems? Of course not. But every day in business all over the country, companies are either not asking the questions or they're not looking at the responses. Who do you think will lose? Make sure you do something with the responses. The seventh rule is that you must not only ask your customer about your business, but you must also tabulate and use the responses to improve your business. Let's review the seven rules to follow when asking your customers to fill out response cards for your company. First, every customer response request should have a thank you element to it. Second, the request for information from your customer should come from the most senior person in the organization. The third rule is that you should provide a phone number for the customer to call to express their thoughts beyond the survey card. Fourth, the survey must be quick and easy. Fifth, the questions must only have one issue. The sixth rule is that the customer must have an inducement to respond. And seventh, and perhaps the most important, the responses must be tabulated, reported, and used. There you have seven rules of surveying your customers and using survey cards. There may be more, but these are the seven that all companies who operate successful customer satisfaction programs utilize. We suggest you do as well. Well, what's the payoff? Simply, you get 1. Statistically sound feedback about your staff and services. 2. Customers who are pleased with your company because you provide them the services and products they really want. And perhaps most importantly, 3. customers who keep on coming back because you have eliminated reasons to not come back. What about buying the airplane ticket and never showing up to take the flight? Seemed pretty ridiculous a few minutes ago when it was mentioned, but isn't that what so many companies do? If you follow the rules of survey questions when getting feedback from your customer, you not only get to take the flight, but you also get to take a trip to the bank. Because satisfying customers is not only good business, it's profitable too.
Now that Mike has shared the basics of how to develop a customer response card, let me share a few practical tips as well as some ideas contractors like yourself are using successfully. Tip number one, keep the card simple and easy to understand with a maximum of 30 seconds required to fill it out. Tip number two, if at all possible, leave the card with the customer at the service location. Hand it to them personally if you can with a comment like, "Our company cares about the quality of the work we do. If you don't mind, please fill out this card after I am gone and drop it in the mail." Tip number three, always place a physical stamp on the card. You will get a higher response rate than with a postage paid imprint. Tip number four, pay your techs 50 cents or a dollar for each card returned as an incentive for giving the cards out. Tip number five, immediately post any positive comments on the bulletin board for all other techs to see. Circle the comment in red with a personal comment like, "Great job, Bill. Keep up the good work." Tip number six, leave copies of positive customer comments with individuals you are making presentations to. Tip number seven, always respond in a positive way to negative comments. If possible, correct the problem. At the very least, call the customer and tell them you heard what they said and will see that the suggestion is implemented into your company policy. Now for some suggestions from the field. You may want to consider expanding your card to a fold-over version which includes two things. First, a short thank you for your business, and next to it, a $5 or $10 discount coupon to be used on the next service call. You may even want to make the coupon transferable. One of the best ideas I've heard recently, however, involved incorporating a bonus system into the response card program. Several questions were asked on the card pertaining to customer service. The requested responses were rated 1 through 5, with 1 being the highest. As the cards returned to the office, the owner would review each card. If all the responses were 1s or 2s, all was well. Any responses that came in with a 3, 4, or 5 on them required the technician to sit down with the owner and explain the problem from his or her perspective. If there was a legitimate reason for the low response, the owner would raise the rating to a 1 or 2. Now for the fun. For every card that came in with all 1s or 2s on it, the tech was given 4 points. Every response with a 3, 4, or 5 on it subtracted 2 points. Do you know what happened with the points? They translated into dollars for a year-end bonus. The contractor who was using the system says the system has resulted in significantly higher customer service, and his average technician gets a $500 to $700 bonus at the end of the year. There is a rule of life. Everything of real value has a price on it. Invest in your technicians with some kind of incentive plan. It will bear a lot of fruit. As usual, we hope this edition of the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month has given you many new ideas to help you run your company more effectively. Also, don't forget to phone, fax, or call in your order for the Service Sense Tape Series for Technicians. Order today and get a free tape album. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.